You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon, nearly evening here. And guess what, Tom? Arizona football team is still bad.
Oh, they are?
If I could just say that clearly and directly.
Yeah.
I'd be fine.
You're pretty clear and direct.
Oh, yeah, sure. They're not as good as anybody thinks. They're not good at all. We'll see what happens in the next few weeks when the recruiting news comes in. Got about 2 weeks, I think, before that happens. I know the coaches were on the road right away after the game, as they should be, trying to get talent to come here and to play for Sumlin. Good luck with that. So we'll talk a little more about that later. I have Damian Alameda of KOLD coming at 6:45. I have the popular Jim Rosborough calling in about 6:15. He's at Pima, formerly of U of A men's basketball. It's been a while with that. And then Mr. Jay Dobbins, who's got a new head coaching job at Tankerville yesterday. So I'm looking forward to the show. A lot of great guests. You probably don't know any of these guys, or do you know Damian?
I do know Damian, yes.
From his covering the sports scene from back in the day?
Yes. So I've known him for a couple years.
One of the good guys?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yes. He and I have been friends for a while. Competing, but still friends. Not so much competing anymore. You know the one thing I missed the most of my job back in the day?
What's that?
Competing. But it's hard to compete nowadays with everybody going to the same press conference, everybody asking the questions. Like, if I have a question that I want for me, I have to ask it at the press conference. And guess what then?
Everybody else has
mm-hmm. it. And same for the other people. I get stuff that other people have. It's not really a fair fight, especially when you have people that don't ask questions.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
Well, actually, I've seen that firsthand. I've been in locker rooms where, mm-hmm. when there's availability with players, someone will come in and they have a very good line of questioning and a good story in mind.
Sure.
I've seen stories stolen.
Oh, yeah. Because some of the people don't know what to write.
Right. And they just overhear and they're like, oh, I'll just take that and run with it.
Right. And then guess what? Some of the people say, X news source said this. Well, actually, it was the other guy that said this. You just took it from him.
Right.
Or her.
And my opinion on this, and feel free to disagree, is that everything is so tightly controlled now because of social media and the cycle that we have where it's 24/7, everyone has a camera, everyone can record audio and video and immediately post it on the internet.
No question. That plus, I think the organizations, the schools, whatever, want to break their own stories.
Yeah.
You know, they'll put the information out, spin it as they choose, and that's their story, and they'll stick to it.
100%.
Yeah. We live in a weird time right now. Weird time. It's not going to get any better.
No, and we're not going to go backwards either. I mean,
no.
It used to be, well, and you know this, and I know this, it used to be relationships. When I was on the mm-hmm. team side of things, mm-hmm. If I had a good relationship with somebody, I would certainly be more forthcoming with them. And heaven forbid, you can't even do this anymore, I don't think, ask somebody to hold something for me because I had that relationship.
Right. It only works, this is a long time. That's a good point. I've been out of the newspaper business for 10 years now, worked for Fox for a while. Holding stuff, almost impossible.
Yeah.
It's almost a self-embargo that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do it, somebody else will.
Right. And everybody has to be first. Not right, but first.
But first. Yeah, that's always been the case. And in fact, you saw that the Richard Jewell story is coming out soon.
Yes.
On screen. Mm-hmm. That kind of influenced journalism in the 1996. I think it was 1996.
It was.
I went to the Olympics in 2000, 2004. When that happened, and they screwed the story up tremendously, standards were placed in journalism, which kind of makes me laugh at the whole me saying that, where they were going to check sources and blah, blah. Shouldn't you be doing that already?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be doing that? Check sources and double checking. You should do that already, one. And two, we at my old company would not, they changed things. And it was like, come on, guys, this is still journalism at the core of it. You have to be right. Don't have to be first. But, you know, that desire, well, people need to read us one. this media business is on a plane ride that's not going up. It's going.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in this business here. This is a different business, though, because this is more of sports talk, opinion. My show specifically is telling stories, getting people's reactions to certain things, not breaking stories.
Right.
So.
I don't even know if they teach journalism anymore.
They do, which is kind of strange.
I have a degree in it.
Yeah, which is kind of strange. You know, when I was a kid growing up, and we had people going to our school to talk about journalism, blah, 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 stuff that I do now. I remember one, and I can remember like it was yesterday. I had to be about 13, 14, and this is the only thing I ever wanted to do. And they came in and said, well, you're not going to make any money. You're not going to make any money. They talked about, you know, all this stuff. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. It's a tough position, profession. And I'm thinking, don't crush my dreams. Don't tell me this. I don't want to know. They were actually very spot on.
Yeah.
And when I got to high school, I got to college out of high school, the numbers were getting bleaker and bleaker and more bleak. They were saying that the jobs were, you know, slowing down. This is 30-some years ago now. Now it's like, yeah. In fact, my son asked me, would you change your profession to something more stable? And would you make more money and blah, blah, blah. I says, to tell you the truth, no. I traveled all over the world and got to meet some great people. And you know how it is. You just pick your poison. And who knows that my other choice would have been horrible.
Well, there's trade-offs.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
So you make a lot of money, but do you work longer hours? And in sports and journalism and what have you, certainly our hours are what you could easily describe as non-traditional. So there's times you can make things with your family and your children you wouldn't be able to in a 9-to-5 or, heaven forbid, a 9-to-9.
No.
Where you're at the office, you know, 60 hours a week.
The one thing I said about this job forever, the best thing about the job are the hours. The worst thing...
The hours.
You're
so right.
No question.
You're so right.
In the last two years of my time at the Citizen, Lute was set to retire, going through his issues. I didn't sleep. The phone was constantly ringing with sources, me calling people. I'm talking 2-3 in the morning. It was just the way it was. And it was the onset of the internet, so we had to put some stuff up right away, getting calls from people. Then the job search for Sean. I mean, it's luckily I'm not involved in that anymore. I just kind of talk about it and maybe occasionally kind of write about stuff like that. But those days are long gone. It made me an old man quickly.
Yeah.
You know, this gray hair used to be really dark.
Now you just look seasoned.
Yeah. Yes. Put a little pepper and salt, sir.
There you go.
with it steak. Hey, you want to take the break now and come back?
Yeah, it's your show. You want to take the break?
Oh, it's my show? Hold on. I didn't know that. Let's come back and talk to Jim Rosborough on the other side. Talk about the good old days at U of A and now the good days right here at Pima. Thanks. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And now on the phone, I have Coach Jim Rosborough. Jim, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Really well, Steve. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thank you very much. Same to you. I hope you and your family had a great time. By the way, happy belated birthday. Everybody who saw that you were going to be on the show said to say happy birthday.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, it was kind of a milestone one, Steve. You wonder where the years have gone, and then all of a sudden sit here and you're looking at 75 and say, oh, my gosh. But in any event... up and healthy and feel really good. So appreciate all the good wishes.
Yes. No problem. Good for you. Hey. So your girls or your women at Pima are rolling and doing really well. Last year they had this great year and they're continuing it this year.
Well, Steve, I think we had a lot of new people coming in this year. We lost a first-team All-American in J.J. Nekai and a second-team All-American in Shauna Brebiescus last year. So we had some spots to fill. But, you know, I think due to the reputation and how well we've done, and we did finish fifth in the nation last year, you know, we were ranked fairly highly. Now we're off to a 4-2 start. We had a game canceled last Wednesday, which was kind of too bad. So starting tomorrow, we have 4 games in 8 days. But, you know, we have a good group, and we're working hard with them, and they've been getting better, Steve. And I really like this group. But Todd has said numerous times, excuse me, he thinks that this maybe has a chance to be his best defensive team, and I wouldn't disagree with that. So you know, we'll see. We're doing okay. Thanks.
The one thing that you know better than most, developing that reputation, you guys did it at U of A where this became a basketball school. It helped with probably recruiting. You can talk about this. But once you develop that reputation, it stays with you, and you are able to move from that or help move from that. And that's happened at Pima?
Yeah, I think so, Steve. We've got, and I think, two girls that are going to transfer in at the semester here, coming in second semester, and they'll sit out. And it's like, you know, we're recruiting for next year, Steve. So they'll sit out, and then they'll be with us next year. So, and these are girls that have been other places, and it just didn't work out. And you know that happens periodically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah, I think the reputation is good. And I think, Steve, and I mean, you've been out there a bit and so on. We coach them hard, and you know, people wonder, well, what's the difference in men and women coaching? I mean, to me, not one single bit. You get out and coach hard, and you demand, and you expect the best, and expect them to lift on their jump shot and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think the reputation, and kids come to see us play that maybe aren't happy at a school and, you know, want to join us. But I think the whole thing is we've got a good staff. You know, well, Todd does a nice job with the girls, and we work them hard and have a lot of demand. So, you know, I think that reputation is out there. And I think you're right, Steve. It's built up over the last, well, Todd's been there, I think, 11 years. In the last 4, 5, 6 years, we've been really, really pretty darn good and play a good style of ball.
Over the years, you've been doing this a long time. Have kids changed in terms of how they want to be coached, or do they still want to be coached hard given the circumstances of today's world?
Well, people wonder that all the time. Have kids changed? And you know, there may be some places that happens. I mean, if you were to go into the high schools, maybe people would say that. Mode of dress, this or that. I don't know. Now, I can only speak to, you know, our crew that we had at Arizona over the years, and you were around firsthand, Steve. I think they wanted to be coached, and I think they wanted to be coached hard, and I think a lot of guys came into the program that felt they had a future playing basketball if, in fact, they were coached hard and made to get better and had demands put on them and things were going to be done in a certain way. So from that standpoint, I mean, I can't speak, for example, to Sean Miller or Bobby Hurley or these guys. Just, you know, I'm not there at practice. But I would assume that they are wanting to be coached well, wanting to be coached hard. And I can tell you our girls at Pima, at least in the 4.5 years I've been there, I've seen no difference. They accept tough coaching. They want to be coached. They want to learn. They want to be fundamentally sound. And it's hard, Steve. Let me tell you. I mean, kids come in. They've been big stud players in high school, and they want to do things a certain way, and so on. And that's our job to get them to fit into our system and how we want to do things. So, in answer to your question, long-winded, in fact, is that I really haven't seen a great deal of difference. The kids want to be coached, and they want to be coached hard.
Right, right. I know you keep your eye on the pulse of a lot of different things. I'm sure you've watched Arizona a time or two. You must be happy for Murph, who was with you for a number of years, one of the great guys along, like you, you know, just kind of just the guy next to the coach doing what he can to help.
Yeah, Jack has worked hard since he left here, and he's had several stops, including a couple stops, I think, with the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, he worked for Josh Pastner for several years, couple, 3 years perhaps. He was a head coach up at Northern Arizona, so he's paid his dues, and now he's kind of back home, the school he graduated from. And you know, Steve, to me, that makes a big, big deal of difference, a great amount of difference, being at your alma mater and working hard to recruit. I mean, you're not out there talking baloney to kids. You're out there telling them the truth that you like about their school. So I'm sure for Jack, he's found this really really, really good, really a great experience. I don't talk to him daily or anything else, but, you know, I think that he's liking it, and I think he's probably been good for Sean, and I'm just guessing this, but Jack's, as you know, an upbeat and fun guy, mm-hmm. and going to laugh and going to smile, and I think if that is the case, I'm sure that Jack has really been good for the program. He's a smart young man, and he's worked hard to get this opportunity, so I'm really happy for him.
Right, right. You've seen this. Have you seen the team at all, a time or two?
I've been down to a couple games, and then I've watched on TV a couple times.
Okay.
Steve, I mean, you know, we're working hard too, and you have film to watch. And,
right.
You know, I'm out at our situation, working hard till 4, 4:30, and then you want to get home. And like older guys now, by 6:30, you're sound asleep in bed. I'm staying up late for you, Steve.
So. I'm glad, glad to know that. Glad to thank you for making me feel special. Hey, so what I wanted to ask you, and I don't think I've asked you this because I asked you about another player, your thoughts on Zeke Nagy and who he reminds you of?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've seen him play, and he's a big kid, and he runs. Then I went down to practice one day, too, and you could tell right away. I mean, the kid has a great body for basketball. He's very mobile and so on. I don't know. You were around when Brian Williams, Bison Dele, played here. I thought he was a terrifically good athlete. Now, he had some idiosyncrasies, as you well know, and so on. But Brian was was a great tennis player. He could have been a quarter miler for, the university here. He was a terrifically good runner. And Zeke kind of reminds me of him. Now, Brian, if he was there and willing to play hard, Steve, he was virtually unstoppable. I think you were probably at the game. He's over at UCLA and goes for 32 and 18 rebounds or some ungodly thing. So when he was ready to go, he was awful good. And I think at this stage, with normal progression, Zeke's probably going to be in that category just because he's really, really a good athlete and can catch the ball and good sense for the game. That's really a key thing. I think he's got a good feel for the game.
That's heck of praise, because you're talking about one of the best athletes to ever play here, basketball-wise. But let me tell you, let me throw this one at you, because I thought it was maybe because of the hair, maybe because of the novice way, but Jordan Hill, and maybe I'm wrong.
You're comparing Zeke to him?
Yes.
Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Jordan went on to have a good career here, and he was in the pros, and I don't know if he's still playing overseas, to be honest, but I guess I would say this just on early impressions. I think Zeke is probably, what would you guess, an inch or two taller?
Yes.
Maybe as good or better a runner, as good or better an athlete. If you were asking me without any disrespect to anybody, I think I would take Zeke at this point, because I don't, in my mind's eye and looking back, and I haven't thought about this in a long time, Steve, till you brought it up, but I think Zeke's ahead of where Jordan was at the same time freshman year.
Yeah, no question. Because he was raw. He was very raw.
Yeah, he was raw. But now he worked hard and he became a good player and had a nice career. But if you were asking me right now, I would take Zeke in a second.
Yeah, there's a couple of other guys, and we'll go back to Pima real quick. So you have Mannion. Of course, he reminds me of Bibby. And I have Green. Reminds me of Richard Jefferson.
Yeah, and I don't know if we talked the other day. Somebody asked me.
I did. Yeah, I did. About Green.
Yeah, about Green. And, he really reminds me a little bit more of Hassan Adams. Now, Richard Jefferson, and he was on such good teams here that, he really didn't stand out offensively like he was capable probably of doing. I mean, he fit in and he did his job. And, you got Michael Wright and Lauren Woods and
Gilbert.
Luke Brown and Gilbert and Jason Gardner and those guys. So he did his job, and he really made his money down the stretch as being a heck of a defender. And then to go on and have a career like he did. Now, maybe Josh Green will get there, but at this point I would say he really reminds me quite a bit more of Hassan Adams, just a tough kid. He can get up in the air. He can bring the ball down the court. Very good athlete, but I would really compare him right now. And I think probably Richard, what would you guess, Steve, is inch and a half taller than Green? That would be my guess.
Yes, about that. With the same, yeah. I like the comparison. I really do. With Hassan. Hassan was just a beast. Even though he was short, he can get to rebounds. He was probably better near the basket than away from the basket.
Yeah, he was just a tough kid. Guys hated to play against him. You know the other guy, and we don't need to talk only about the old Arizona days, but Eugene Edgerson would come in the game, and kids hated to play against him because he was all elbows and nuts. And that's really the case with Hassan. I mean, Hassan was just a tough kid, and nobody wanted to play. Now you say, well, he couldn't shoot, and I wouldn't say he was a great shooter, but again, you may have been at the game, Steve. I think it was
Washington.
Whatever the Washington kid's name is, I forget right now. I mean, they're going back and
Roy.
Forth. And
it was Roy. Had to be Roy.
Yeah, it was Roy. And they, I think they both went over 30. And, you know, that it was right there that you could see that Hassan could shoot the ball. Not a great shooter, but very, very adequate and tough boy.
What about Mannion with Bibby?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to say right now. And, I read the papers, and you do too. I think we'll find out a lot more about all these kids when they play Baylor, who's I think, a good quality athletic team. And then Gonzaga is coming in here. And there's nothing, you know, people want to complain about the schedule. And granted, you would love to have Duke come in and Michigan State, but it's really hard to schedule those teams, and it's really hard to get people to come in here to play. So, you know, they've learned how to win, I would think, and then I think we'll really find out. But Nico is good. He's got a good feel for the game. He sees the court. He distributes. Right at this point, I'd say he's probably a better overall scorer than Bibby. But, you know, as I recollect, and I'm getting older and a little bit of mental problems, but I think Bibby won the national championship as a freshman point guard, Steve. So that's a mouthful. That's really something for somebody to live up to. But Mannion has many, many tools. No question about that.
Let's go back to Pima real quick. We have about a minute left. You must be having a really good time coaching because you're still doing it. They're probably keeping you young.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. I mean, I just, it's invigorating. And I get up in the morning, and I don't have to be there at 8 o'clock like the old days, but I'm generally out there by 10:15 and watch film, which I like doing, and breaking down what other people are doing, and then working with the girls. We've got a good group of girls. We've had good kids there the whole time I've been there, but it's a great deal of fun. I like working with Todd and Pete and Lonnie, our staff. The school's been very, very supportive. So, yeah, I like it a lot, and I think it really has kept me young. And, you know, I look forward to going to work every day, and that's really what you could ask for.
Many of us still don't have that privilege to get up and want to go to work. You do, so do I. So have fun. We'll talk to you again soon. Good luck with the team.
Okay, Steve. Good to chat with you. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. That was Jim Rosborough, the Pima Women's Basketball Program, the assistant coach to Todd Holthouse. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. On the phone now with me, Jay Dobbins, head coach Jay Dobbins. How does that sound, Jay?
It sounds a little overwhelming to me, to be quite honest with you, Steve. I am stepping outside my comfort zone a bit, so I have my fingers crossed and high hopes.
Oh, come on. You have a city behind you. You have an area of the city behind you for sure, and I think everyone's pulling for you, so which is a good sign. What made you decide to do this?
Well, I've always been willing in all aspects of my life to face up the challenges and accept challenges. And the Tenga Verde High School football program is faced with a challenge. You know, over the last 3 years, those kids are 5-25. They were 0-10 last year. But of no fault to the effort, energy, attitude of the coaches or kids, they've just struggled. And so there's a huge challenge there to try to turn that, mindset and change the culture of football sports at that high school.
Where do you begin? And everyone talks about, you know, there's a mindset or you want to get that feeling of winning or whatever. What is it with you? Where does it start?
Well, there's two aspects to that, Steve. And I met with my players for the first time last night. The very first question I asked them was, Do you believe that you can improve? Do you believe that you can win football games? Because without your belief in your heart, like there is no chance for any of us. I don't care if you bring in Nick Saban or Bill Belichick. You have to believe that you are going to get better and that you have a chance to win games, and you have to have faith in that. And that is the first step of, for lack of better terms, the brainwashing that goes on with young athletes to get them to believe in themselves. Comfort, confidence, all those things that come with being successful, not just in sports, but in life.
Right. I say this all the time. If you don't believe in yourself, who is going to believe in you?
You know what? The fact is, like for all of us, for Steve, for Jay, for the people listening in your audience, we all have problems. 90% of the world doesn't care about our problems. The other 10% is happy that we have them. No one is coming to our rescue. No one's coming to save us. We have to save ourselves.
Yeah, no question, no question. So when you were at South Point, what a fantastic season you guys had. You guys did not reach the championship game, but who cares in a season that you guys were fantastic. I think too many times when you don't get there, you kind of already got there, if that makes any sense.
You know what? The season was the epitome of the highest highs and the lowest low. And that is... that's sports, and that's why we play the games. You know, to see what the South Point football team was able to accomplish, to see those amazing athletes doing amazing things, and then, you know, to have the crushing reality of being beaten in a very important, like, win or lose, losers go home game. But it's why we love sports.
Yeah, you like to compete and to see where you stand and how good you are, and you guys prove that you guys belong. What a fantastic group of kids. I never went to a game, but I read enough. I talked to enough people who've seen them play, and you guys did a fantastic job. This will be a season to remember among the many seasons you remember.
You know, and so much of my experience coaching for Coach Benet and with that staff and with those players at South Point, I will take away, and I will try to translate much of that to Tangue Verde High School. The mentality, the work ethic, and just the character of the staff and the kids is where it starts. Like, really good people joining together with a common goal and putting the team before any coach, before any player. The common goal of what we want to accomplish is so much more important than any individual achievement.
Do you already have some assistant coaches already lined up? Any big names?
You know what? I don't. I'm working to build a staff. I have some names in mind, but I'm being very careful with that too. My first goal is to find coaches that absolutely love kids, because that's where it starts in high school, to love kids. And then I want, obviously, guys that are smart football coaches, because I will ultimately be judged by the quality of the coaches I hire and how we are able to translate our football knowledge, our life knowledge, to young men trying to turn boys into men through the game of football.
Because of the player you were, how much of the level of being a smart player / athletic player, what's the most important part of becoming a pretty good athlete?
You know, for so many kids in high school, so many of us, and I put myself in this category, are overachievers. How do I help these kids find a way to be the very best that they are capable of as an individual, to exceed what they expect of themselves? Those were the same challenges that I faced as a young high school player here in Tucson. I was never the best player on any team I played on, Little League, high school, college. I had a role, and I embraced that role, and I did everything I could to contribute and help my teammates as a team be better. I hope to bring that to these young men that I'll be coaching.
All you have to do is bring out those tapes, show them. Don't even tell them who that guy is, and show them what he did and the beatings he took. And the one thing that still astonished me, you got up and played the next play.
Well, you know what? So much of sports, and sports is life, is toughness. You know what? Life is going to knock you down. You get knocked down in sports. There is always someone bigger and stronger right around the corner. And, like, we can't be afraid of those confrontations and those situations and those life events. And we learn so much about how we develop our relationships, our families, our businesses. We learn that through sports.
Yeah, no question. I don't know if you want to transition, but I'm going to ask you to transition if you can, because we all get up, we all get beat up, we all get down and out. Any thoughts on the football program right now at U of A?
Well, you know, I'm obviously as severely disappointed as any true University of Arizona football fan is. As much as I love our basketball program, I, as a football player, I don't want Arizona to be known as a basketball school. I want it to be known as a football school. I know that is a lot to ask, and because of the accomplishments of the basketball program, which are amazing, I am proud of them. But better football players, getting better kids on campus, I think all coaches, and Coach Sumlin's getting beat up right now, right? But when you get to be a coach at that level, all those coaches are good. They're all smart. They all know the game. It comes down to the players. The players have to deliver that on the field. And there's kids there that are capable of that. We need more of them.
Yeah, no, it's going to be tough. Especially, it becomes almost the dog catching the tail and whatever, wagging the tail or whatever phrase you want to use, because winning brings those kids, and continued winning brings those kids, kind of like the basketball team. Now you have to kind of regroup and start over almost.
Steve, you know what? And it's inherent in this town, maybe in most towns. What is taking place at Arizona football is taking place at Tangaverde High School football. Winning fixes everything.
Yes, yes.
You have to win. You have to win to get kids to want to come out for your team, to want to come to your school. Winning fixes everything.
Yes, no question. Well, I know if I was a kid and I lived in that area, guess where I'm going to go play football? For Jay Dobbins.
Well, I will do my best. I'll do my very best with all my effort and energy and enthusiasm and passion. And it's quite an honor to have parents trust you with their young men. And I always appreciated that. When I was coaching at South Point, now coaching at Tangaverde, it's an honor for parents to turn their child over to you and say, like, take him and help me turn him into something. That's a huge responsibility, but it is an immense, immense honor.
Well, you've been around enough good coaches to know better, and you're going to do fantastic.
Thank you, Steve. I am going to try to follow in the footsteps of all those great coaches. And I said this yesterday. Coaches and football shaped my life. And now is my chance to pay those coaches back who impacted me by paying forward the lessons I learned from them to the kids I will be coaching.
Well, I know Larry Smith would be proud of you. I know his wife, I talked to Cheryl last week before the ASU game, is proud of you. So good luck.
Very kind, Steve. Thank you again for having me on your show. I love your show.
Great. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. Take care. That was Jay Dobbins, former U of A football player. Now Tangaverde High School football coach. Good to say. Let's come back on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And now on the phone, I have Damian Alameda of KOLD. How are you, Damian? Good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you, Steve. How are you, man?
Fine, thank you. Hey, you happen to be the same place I was about Saturday night, midnight. A little cold. You were out in the freezing cold. To me, freezing. Watching the game. What did you make of that press conference of Sumlin's?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. Way to start this one off. You know, Sumlin, we've come to know as a guy who just doesn't show emotion.
Right.
Right. And he still didn't really show much emotion. So we've kind of, you know, that's his personality. But, you know, he was asked some pointed questions about his message to the fans. And his responses, which were pretty much, look, we understand, because as frustrating as it is for you, it's even more frustrating for us, or it's as frustrating for us. And all we can do is press forward. He said pretty much the only thing he could say, right?
We're going to get better?
Yeah, that's pretty much. Now, obviously, we'll see what happens here in the next, especially in December 18th was early signing day. But, I mean, they pick up Terry, yesterday or the day before. So, obviously, they're trying to get some things in order. The defensive coordinator position still needs to be filled. And plenty of questions linger, but, you know, I asked him straight away on Monday how long it took him to get over last year's loss to ASU, and he just simply said, you know, I was out recruiting the next day.
Well,
and that was it.
You're being kind. You asked him, and he either didn't know what to answer the first time, because I think it was a delay, and he kind of caught you off guard, or caught everybody off guard. It was a simple question: what did you do? Let me ask you: you've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this a long time. Okay, so he's coming back. What are the chances on a scale of 1 to 10 of him doing better than 500 next year?
Doing better than 500.
Better than 500.
Ooh. Scale of 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so many unknowns. I'm gonna go 5.
Yeah, I would go four. I would go 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that good enough? Is that good enough for a man who's probably gonna make $3.5 million?
Right. No. I mean, it's so tough because you never want to, you know, go down that road of whipping out the crystal ball when it comes to a guy's job security. But, you know, Dave Hickey is saying what he has to say about being
sure.
You know, behind Kevin Sumlin, you know, for year three. And he Hickey was asked too, you know, if the ship starts sinking a little bit mid-season there, are you willing to, you know, make a move? And of course he demurred and said, we're just focusing on moving forward. You can't really afford not to.
No, you can't. You can't afford to do it now.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. Like if there's any inkling, I think John Wilner put it the best, is like, if there's any inkling that might be the scenario, then you got to make the move now.
Oh yeah, sure. Sure. You cut early so it at least regroup. To Hickey's point, he's in a no-win situation. He just isn't.
Nope.
The only problem with that is he made the choice.
Correct. Live by your choices, man. Die by your choices, right? And people, the contrarians may circle that, you know, the $10 million buyout, the $7.5 million buyout, $5 million buyout. Ultimately, it's the bigger picture here. I mean, USC is kind of going through the same thing right now, right?
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
We're waiting on the future of Clay Helton. And given there's, you know, new administration over there, but you break down the numbers dollar figure wise, cut your losses and go, or don't. Either way, make the move, make the decision.
Let me say this. And I don't know if this makes sense, 'cause half the time I don't, but you pay $5 million by the end of January, I think it is, or you pay him 3.5 by the end of this next year. So
Right. The
difference of what, 1.5 in the world of college athletics, that's kind of like 10 bucks to you and me.
Exactly. No, that's exactly the point, which all goes back to if there's any sort of hesitancy in any shape or form, then you that is your gut check and you make a move. Of course, you know, all those years I've run an athletic department, what the heck do I know, right? But it's the stress level on Kevin Sumlin right now has got to be just through the roof.
In what sense? That's a good point. In what sense?
Because he know, you know, I would like to think that he knows exactly where he stands with the administration. He knows that what he set out to do has obviously not come to any sort of fruition. In fact, if nothing else, it's taken steps backwards, right?
Correct.
Because now you're at the point where a lot of folks are like, man, Rich Rod was doing just fine. Like, why do we have to even go down this? I mean, it might have been like a little hiccup here, but they're at least, you know, ducks in a row, so to speak. You look at Khalil Tate. You look at the defense. You look at all of the problems that culminated here in 2019 were problems that you could foresee coming out of 2018,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So where were the improvements,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
Like, Sumlin was very big on the message of consistency. He pounded that. He had the players pound that, the coach and staff pounding that in August at fall camp. Consistency. They were consistent in one regard, the bad one. Every problem that they had in 2019 was consistent with the problems that they experienced in 2018.
Correct.
Right? I don't know. Like,
So you started this by him saying that he must be stressed out, or what was the word you used? He must be.
Oh yeah, stressed for sure.
Let me say this: I don't know how or why, because either he's fired, he gets paid a ton of money. If he's if he sticks around and coaches, he gets paid a ton of money.
Yeah. Okay. And I buy all that. I think, but I mean, again, he is still the head coach of this football program, which means there is pride on the line. Up until Arizona, his record was very much intact, right? I would like to think that when he says those comments that he made on Saturday about how much he cares about this program,
sure,
that he is 100% sincere, right? And if that is the case, which we all hope is the fact and is the truth, then that's where the stress comes from, because he's not holding up his end of the bargain.
No, that said, I agree with you. That said, it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be very tough. And if he's going after athletes now, recruits, how long is that going to take? And you know, if you get 20 of them, you're not going to play half of them or 75%. Right. And then how many are you going to be good to the point where you need big wins?
And here's the question, right? So his whole thing, one of the quotes that he mentioned on Saturday was, the pitch to recruits is you can play now.
Yikes.
What good is that experience if your experience playing now sets you back?
Well, didn't that try to sell them last year with the recruits that are here now?
Right. Exactly.
That's your point. I'm sure, you have a chance to play now. Well, did they play now, and how did they do?
Exactly. And the ones who were supposed to take those steps forward, did they?
They didn't.
You know? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You please.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, Khalil Tate is just such a fascinating
story.
Case study.
Yes.
Right?
Let me ask you, because I had Michael Lev on the show yesterday. Where do you think it went wrong with Khalil?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, it was early. Early on last season, you could tell that there were obvious kinks to the way he was clicking with someone's system, in the sense that, in the beginning it was, okay, was Khalil overthinking things? Is he really trying to be, that pocket passer that Mazzoni's trying
right.
to, like, where's
right.
the conflict there? And then we go through that whole season and we're like, okay, after one season under this, he's coming back to Arizona for his senior year. He's got one season under his belt. He's got to be a little bit more relaxed. You'd think that, maybe he's fitting himself in the box a little bit. And then what do we see? Like, there are flashes of greatness, and Sumlin and Mazzoni talking about the idea of letting Tate be Tate more, giving him the opportunity on his RPOs to just take off and do what he did. Two or three seasons ago, that made him so magical. But then it reverted back to thinking too much.
Or trying to be something he's not. I think
exactly.
I'll give you the example of my analogy. I would die to be a good-looking man. Guess what? It ain't going to happen. I'm not a TV guy. I got to stay in my lane and be who I am.
But, it's that case of, like, the circle peg in the square.
Yes,
ball.
Yes. He wanted to be. He wanted to prove to people he could throw the ball. I think that he can throw the ball. Whether he throws it accurately to the people he's throwing it to, that's the difference.
Right. And if you go back to that October where he's just tearing it up,
mm-hmm.
You have a couple things going for you. One, no one sees.
No one knew. No one knew.
No one knew. And two, a lot of the plays that he made came off of broken reeds.
Right.
Let's be honest. Like, he was ad-libbing.
Well, I said this on the show a few times. He's had that 1 month, and then he's had like another 10 months after that, because the season goes, in spurts. So that's 2 years. What if that month was just the aberration? Was the lightning in a bottle, and he just couldn't find it because it was just that light? Hell, I find quarters on the street every now and again. But,
I was going to say, To be fair, one, I have no idea what's going on in his head. I have no idea what was going on behind the scenes. We do know, obviously the injuries piled up on him last season. What his relationship really was like with Mazzoni and with Sumlin, if there was friction there, if there was not friction there, maybe one day we'll know. Right now it's a little, up in the air. At the end of the day, it's kind of heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah, no
because
question.
There was so much promise.
There's in your time, you've been here maybe 15 years, I don't know how many years. In my twice that time, there's no athlete at U of A, at least in the big sports, that have gone through what he did with this great star and then the fade, and then the fade.
I mean, who gets anointed the Heisman and then just absolutely makes that cover look ridiculous?
Well, maybe the media is to blame as well. We do stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there are plenty of folks who could hold out the hat for a slice of the blame, for sure. But it is a fascinating case study.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did. He made that comment about his story being an inspiration because there were plenty of ups and there were plenty of downs. I don't know which one were more of, but...
We got to go. Damien, thank you again, as usual. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate you, Steve.
Thank you, Damien. Take care. Another day in the books. We'll see you guys tomorrow here on 10:30 The Voice.